We'll greet you all this morning in Jesus' name. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask your blessing, Father, upon this time together. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom, Father. Again, Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us. Help us to be faithful in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to first letter of John. And begin in verse 1. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. What I want to focus this morning on is this last few verses of this chapter. One of the big problems is in religion is we seem to have one part of something and then miss another part, or we find the other part and miss the first part. The Bible teaches that Christ is the Lord, and many people will say that, they'll confess that, but He is not the Lord of their lives. Some have a Savior and no Lord, and some have a Lord but no Savior. And those two go together. You know, a lot of times in serious circles, we have people who believe that Jesus is the Lord. We have people, they strive to obey the Lord. All kinds of circles talk about obedience. That you have to obey the Lord. You obey His commandments. You obey His teachings. You obey all kinds of different things. And so people put their focus on just obeying. And they live very strict lives. Appearingly, very holy lives. They have a Lord. If you look at almost any religion, it's that way. There's a lot of different religions that have a Lord, good or bad. People that adhere very seriously to what they believe is right. Even the Muslims, look at how strict some of the Muslims live. They have a Lord. They have a Lord. But does that make them followers of Jesus? They have discipline. But does that make them a disciple of Jesus? They have strictness. They have a code of ethics. They have a way to live. But does that make them a follower of Jesus? there's people that have those same characteristics and claim that they're following Jesus, very strictly adhering to their teachings, whether of the Jesus or whether any of them in the Bible. But they have that, the same thing in everything else. They have a Lord. But do they have a Savior? There's a lot of people that, and it's pretty common today, a lot of people claim that Jesus has saved them. They have a Savior. That He's done everything for them. And they have a Savior. They've actually experienced forgiveness from the Lord. They've actually experienced healing from the Lord. But yet, they don't have a Lord. It's so easy for us to get overbalanced one way or the other. We start off on something and get way carried away and then swing way back the other direction. That's the way and the nature of man. They have one or the other. But to have a Savior and to make Him Lord of our lives is where we're supposed to be. This message that we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light and in Him there's no darkness at all. There's no need for the great swings back and forth when we just walk in the light. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Many people say that they have fellowship with Him, but yet they don't follow Him. They walk in darkness, and the Bible says that they do not practice the truth. That's where you get a Savior without Him being Lord, without listening to Him, without walking in the light that He gives us. Use this verse, this next one, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of His Son Jesus cleanses us from all sin. A lot of times, people have this backwards. You go to most evangelical churches and the first thing they want you to do is to have forgiveness. And so you get the forgiveness and then hopefully you'll begin to have fellowship with one another. And then that will bring you to walking in light. That's exactly opposite of what the Bible says. The Bible says walk in the light. And as we walk in that light, we'll have fellowship with others who are walking in that light. As we walk in that light and have fellowship with others, it says then the blood of His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. A lot of times we think, well, that's people that just say they're not sinners. That's who that's talking about, but that's not who it's talking about. Verse 9 gives us the explanation. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sin. What happens is we have sin and we don't want to acknowledge it. It's not that you don't say you don't have it. It's we just won't except that we have it. That's where the problem lies. Very few people are going to say, I've never sinned. Very few people are say, I don't sin. But that's not what it's even talking about. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. The problem is acknowledging our sin. Accepting it, receiving. You see, when we talk about forgiveness, you know, a lot of times we talk about the one side of it, us forgiving someone else. Jesus said, if we won't forgive, we won't be forgiven. If we won't have mercy, there'll be no mercy shown. But the part of that we often miss is, do we receive forgiveness? I think a lot of people are religious. There's a lot of people that have religion, very strict religion. Even, I would say, good religion. Good things. But they don't have forgiveness. Their guilt drives them into deeper and deeper strictness of religion instead of having rest and peace. Their guilt, their conscience is constantly nagging at them, constantly accusing them. And they become more strict. They become harder on themselves. To receive forgiveness, we've got to accept ourselves. That's where it comes in. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. And the truth is not in us. No matter how religious we can be, no matter how big a front we can put on, it's our guilt that we have that's the Lord of our religion, not the forgiveness and the mercy that we have that guides us in it. See, it's a twofold thing, to have a Lord and to have a Savior. To have a Savior without a Lord is worthless. And to have a Lord without a Savior is as equally worthless. We have to acknowledge, to confess our sin, to line ourselves to accept it. It's so hard sometimes for us just to truly accept. We can say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm wrong, I've done this, but don't really realize the need to actually accept mercy and accept forgiveness. So forgiveness is a big issue. Whenever you talk to people about forgiving, it's such a powerful thing. It's got such a powerful hold on people that someone's done them wrong. Talked to some men yesterday, and they were just saying, well, they did this to me, and I'm not going to forget it. And they mentioned to me, well, you probably have thought about that, being different. And I said, yeah, I do. The thing about it is the one who won't forgive is the one who it's hurting. A lot of times people have done someone wrong years ago, and the person that did the wrong has forgotten all about it. But the person who was wronged has carried that burden, that hatred, that anger, that bitterness, like acid in their souls for years. And it eats them alive. Every time they see that person, they just have an anger and a hatred towards that person. It's a real thing. It's a common thing. But to be able to forgive, just to be able to forgive someone, oftentimes truly means to be able to forget it. You know, we can think about things forever and ever, but how sweet is the blessedness of when someone's done you wrong, not even be able to remember it till it's brought up again. Oh yeah, I forgot about that. I forgot they did that. That is precious. That's sweet. That's valuable. It's a blessing. But to remember, this and that. That's a real thing. That's why Jesus stresses it so often, to forgive. Because you're the one it hurts. Like I said, talking to people in the public. You don't have to go very long. You start talking about this to someone, and they'll come up with someone that they just can't let it go over. They just can't let go of it. They may say they can, but after a while it starts coming out. But there's someone just did them wrong. Jesus said, forgive. And there's a whole host of people who have a problem forgiving. But just like everything else in the world, there's another side to that. There's a whole host of people who can't allow themselves to be forgiven. People struggle with that just as much as they do forgiving someone else. Receiving forgiveness. To receive forgiveness. We're so proud. We don't want anybody doing anything for us. And we can do it ourselves. We can manage it ourselves. We can be holy ourselves. We can take care of all these things. And when I make a mistake, we say that we have no sin. We have all kinds of excuses, all kinds of different things. But to just say, to bow your head in your heart and just receive forgiveness, to taste of the mercy and forgiveness of the Lord. I've said often, the reason so few people are able to reflect the mercy and forgiveness of the Lord is because they don't know what it tastes like themselves. They know the Bible. They know the verses. They know the doctrines. But until you've tasted these forgiveness, it's just like tasting forgiveness when you give it to someone else. They go hand in hand. When we receive the mercy, you know, people talk about receiving Jesus. Like he's some abstract thing, you just receive him, he comes into your heart. When you're receiving Jesus, you're receiving him as the Lord. And there's people that talk about that. To receive Jesus as the Lord of your life. And people accept him on that merit. Okay, I'll take him as the Lord of my life. But if we don't receive his mercy and his forgiveness towards us, having him as the Lord is just as valueless as having him as Savior without being the Lord. Just a different side of the same old rotten coin. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins. What a blessed thing it is. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. Psalm 32. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, whose iniquities are blotted out. You know, we think never having sinned is a wonderful thing. But to know forgiveness, to know that someone had me dead to rights, and then was forgiven. Problem is, we don't like being dead to rights. We don't like being caught dead to rights. It's hard for us. Blessed is the man whose iniquities are forgiven, who then can go on to make him the Lord of our lives. Religion has a wonderful way of getting one or two things right. One or two things way out of whack. But just walking in the light is learning to understand His forgiveness, learning to know, learning to taste His forgiveness. Because we see ourselves as He sees us. That's what it means to confess our sins. Not what we see of ourselves. What we see in us. Our consciences will drive us crazy. Our guilt will drive us nuts. But it's not the Lord. To receive His mercy is of the Lord. Blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven. May the Lord add His blessings.
Oh. Oh.